Well, hearts, the message I'm presenting to you today is a message I preached just this past Sunday to our local congregation here in Jacksonville. Be blessed as you listen.
Frankly, I didn't expect this kind of turnout this morning. We didn't even know if we were going to have electricity here this morning, and found out last night we had electricity for a while anyway, so here we are this morning. And tonight, don't forget the concert of prayer, 7 o'clock. Concert of prayer. Folks, we got folks involved in this concert of prayer from here to the West Coast. Amen. Into Canada.
Thank you, Lord.
We have people who involve themselves with us in our concert of prayer from here to the West Coast and into Canada. And so we're praying some pretty strong stuff these days. I'm watching in the nations of the world. And I watch as biblical prophecy becomes more and more prevalent. And you have to understand, listen to me carefully, it takes ears to hear. You are living in a world that is changing. And you have to understand that Satan is constantly at work seeking to consolidate his power.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Satan is constantly at work. I've read the last chapter.
Amen.
I know how it shakes out. And you have to understand that there's not a day of the world that Satan is not seeking to consolidate his power in each nation and in the nations. So that's part of what our concerts are prayer about. We want to block and stop the advancement of the kingdom of darkness. I know what's got to come. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But nonetheless, open your Bibles, if you would please, to 2 Peter Chapter 3. Hopefully we'll cover verses 11 through 18. I've entitled this, What Manner Indeed? How did I come up with that title? Because the question was asked concerning Christ Jesus, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? You know, when you realize we are here temporarily. We're just passing through. We are here temporarily. And given the reality of all that's waiting for us in eternity, we ask ourselves, what kind of person should I be? Given the reality that death awaits us all, given the reality that eternity awaits us all, what kind of people should we be? Nothing wrong with seeking comfort while you're here, and we all do that. We all try to find as much comfort as we can, and we try to gain as much as we can, possess all we can. Nothing wrong with possessions. Nothing wrong with seeking comfort. Nothing wrong with any of that, but you got to remember the priorities of life. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember we're just passing through. Yep. We are just passing through. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to dwell on that, and I don't dwell on it, but I realize that each and every one of us are just passing through here.
Amen.
And we're on our way to an eternity. So we have to be careful what becomes a priority in our life. At some point in time, you've got to decide, what are my priorities? What are my priorities in life? I had to come to grips with that myself. What are my priorities? And I understand sometimes it's difficult to align the priorities because you've got all these different pressures coming against you, all these decisions to be made. And sometimes it's just hard to keep the priorities in life lined up. Difficulties of life, the stuff that we face each and every day. I think sometimes we center on our comfort zone. We spend a lot of time trying to establish our comfort zone and then stay within that comfort zone. We spend a lot of time to stay in the comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
But sometimes you got to step outside of your comfort zone, and then there are things that interfere with our comfort zone. The realities of life, the realities of life, can interfere with our comfort zone. A financial disruption. You can be, do you realize your life can change in a heartbeat?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Your life can change in a heartbeat. You got the green light, and you're going through. But the other guy runs the red light, takes you out, disables you. You wake up one morning and you've got a little pain here, a little pain there. You don't think too much of it, but it persists. And then sometimes it turns about to be a little bit more serious than you thought it would be. My wife and I, years and years and years ago, were going down San Jose Boulevard. San Jose in those days was a two-lane road. And we got to an intersection and a drunk driver coming through, they estimate him at about 90 miles per hour. And he was coming across, and he didn't even slow down. I was driving a big Buick Electra 225. And when he went through, the front of mine caught him on the side. And he went by such velocity that it twisted the frame on that Buick and totaled it.
Wow.
Absolutely totaled it, twisted the frame. The interesting thing was it spun him around. He went into a light post, almost killed him. I had the tiniest little scratch on my left hand on my little finger. My wife had nothing at all.
Praise God.
God protected us.
Amen.
But you see, you never know. My point in telling you that is you never know from one moment to the next. Now, this is just simply to encourage you to be sensitive to the times in which you're living. Be sensitive to the goodness of God. Thank Him for every day. Start every day out by thanking Him, praising Him, but just thanking Him, because you never know what a day holds. Now, as we come through this morning, sometimes it's a financial disruption in the life. Sometimes it's a medical condition. I'll never forget the day that we had a doctor being escorted by two other doctors because he had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he knew he was dying, and he came to our office, and he had two other doctors with him. They were trying to encourage him as he was clearing and getting out of the service and leaving the base. And he had two other doctors with him trying to encourage him. And I think part of it was they didn't want to leave him alone as he was coming through that process. But to look at him, you'd have never suspected anything was wrong. But he had a condition, and they had determined that he might have less than 6 months to live. You never know. Well, when we come through this morning, we're surrounded daily by those who have encountered some interruptions in life. And you are mixing and mingling with people who have encountered interruptions in life. We ourselves have encountered some interruptions in life. And you're going to continue meeting people who have interruptions in life. The question is, how can you help them? How are you going to handle your interruptions? That's what part of this is all about this morning. So, we find that each and every one of us are subject to some interruptions in our life. We come this morning, I want you to come to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, because Peter is there. Peter understands that he's written 1 Peter, but Peter understands that he is going to die and it's not going to be very far off. He understands that death is approaching his life. And he's trying to get this written before he goes. He wants to encourage the church, and he's written those in Asia Minor, which we now call Turkey. He's primarily writing those in Asia Minor, but he speaks to us today because he's on notice. The Holy Spirit has let him know, Peter, your time is short. So he's writing this before he dies to encourage the church, amen, encourage the people. So we pick it up in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, stop right there. Everything you can touch, everything you can see, everything that you own is one day going to be dissolved.
Amen.
Everything. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You see, Peter's not being pessimistic. Don't get it wrong. He's not being pessimistic. He's being realistic. We like to avoid reality. Many times, there's a lot about life that we like to avoid. We just like to avoid reality. But Peter knows he's facing death. He knows that. And he's ready to go. But what he's trying to do is make sure that those he leaves behind understand what they're up against. Because at that time, there was a great move afoot trying to de-establish the Word of God, trying to make people doubt the Word of God. So he recognized the reality. But he's encouraging those in his day. He's encouraging those of us in our day what our priorities in life should be. Now stop and think about what I just said. What are your priorities in life? You ever stop, sit down and say, this is the priority of my life. I have my priorities. Every day of the world I get up, I have my priorities. My first priority is to seek the face of God, to seek the hand of God. Amen. When I first roll out of bed in the morning, that is my first priority. Submit, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Seek His mind. Seek His will. See, you've got priorities, and your priorities may or may not be in alignment with the Word of God and with the character of Christ. But you've got to establish your priorities. And you need to establish your priorities because, once again, here we are. Therefore, seeing all these things will be dissolved, he says. Peter says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, that's hard to picture. That everything we can see, touch, is going to be dissolved.
Amen.
He asked the question, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What kind of person should I be? What kind of person should you be, given the fact that eternity awaits us all? So in preparation of eternity, what kind of person should I be? What person should any of us be? 2 Peter 3:12, looking for, watch this now, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. Picture that. The heavens being dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. He is talking about total destruction from God. This is the end time. When he says everything is going to be on fire. Another verse puts it this way, another version, while you earnestly look for and await the coming day of the Lord. Now let's just slow down for a moment. And let's look at the coming day of the Lord. Folks, I'm a realist. I face reality. I have to deal with reality. And we each need to be a realist. We need to understand reality and face what the Word of God calls reality and live accordingly. But let's look at it for a moment. The coming day of the Lord. It's a quick moment. But it's by no means lacking in exhaustive. It's an exhaustive moment. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to be destroyed. But before that happens, now here's where I need your ears, because you are the key here. Before the day of the Lord comes, hear me and hear me well. You are going to see a one world order with the Antichrist.
Amen.
Now, I've touched on this the last two or three Sundays. Why? Because it's right in front of me in the Scriptures. But understand this, there will be a one world order, and the Antichrist will be ruling, will be in charge, will be the governing authority. And because of that, we're going to have a tribulational period. Now, I don't anticipate anybody in this room being here during the tribulational period. I think most of us are old enough that I think we can get beyond that and go into glory before that comes to pass. But it's going to happen. Now, some of you have children, and you have grandchildren, and you have great-grandchildren. Now, I don't know to what degree they believe this. I don't know to what degree they are prepared to face this. I don't know to what degree they are looking forward to this or even realize that this is a reality. We tend to avoid reality. And I'm here to say to you, a lot of pulpits avoid this reality.
Amen.
They avoid this reality because it's not popular preaching, but it's reality. And if I've got a daughter sitting back there, I've got a son-in-law sitting back there, and I don't want to think that they're going to be here when this unfolds. And some of you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You don't want to see them here when this unfolds. But the question is, how are you handling it? Is it open conversation? Can you talk to them about it? Because during the we're going to have a tribulational period in which we will see the persecution of the church. The church will come under intense persecution before the second coming of Christ. But with the second coming of Christ, let's look at the order of things. With the second coming of Christ, first you have the resurrection from the dead of the dead in Christ. Those who have died in Christ, when Christ returns, we've got the resurrection of the dead. Now, split seconds after that, we've got the rapture of the church. Those of us who know Christ, after the resurrection, we are resurrected. When I look at the resurrection of the dead, I'm thinking, okay. In many instances, the only thing that's left of the dead is a few fragments. Buried, bones, piece of skeletal stuff laying around. But he's going to pull all that. But you see, hear me, you can't destroy matter.
No.
You cannot destroy matter. So even though I may, well, I'm not going to decay in some coffin in some ground because I'm going to be cremated. I'm going to go ahead and get the thing done in a hurry. Get the ashes here in a hurry. I ain't going to wait around to rot away. I know that's not pretty talk, but that's just the way it is. But when Christ returns, all those ashes, what's left of it, he's going to restore. He's going to bring back to life those who died in Christ Jesus with a glorified body. Now, to what degree the ashes and the remnants of the bone will be involved in the glorified body, I don't have the foggiest idea. But we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to come out of the tomb, come out of the graves, come out of the... I want my ashes taken out of the ocean and dumped in the ocean. I want my ashes to be free to float all over the ocean, just going to where they want to go. Because God keeps track of it. And then when he returns, he knows how to find them wherever they are. He knows how to pull them together and put me back together. This is good stuff.
Amen.
This is good stuff. Now, of all the ages up to the moment of the resurrection, whether you're 10,000 years old or one day old, when Christ returns, everything happens instantly. When Christ returns right then and there, may have just breathed your last breath. Let's say that an individual here has received Christ and receives his last breath, and at his last breath, he may have only lived for Christ for a few days, but he's in glory.
Amen.
You know, if he can get saved 30 seconds before Christ returns, he's safe. Because once you're saved, you're safe.
Amen.
Once you're born again, you are safe. So all of that's going to be fallen. We got the rapture of the saints. We got the dead in Christ rising. We've got the rapture of the saints. Then we got a 1,000-year reign. Now, folks, I've spent years and years and years trying to filter out the eschatology because all the different denominations and all the different teachers and preachers seem to have a different camera angle in so many instances. So what I've tried to do is just bring it down to a base, understandable formula as to the sequence in which these are going to occur. So you get the Christ returns. The dead in Christ are resurrected. Those of us who are alive, or those who are alive when he comes, are raptured. Now, once that takes place, Christ returns. Now, you got to track me. Christ is returning. The trumpet blows. The dead in Christ brought up out of the tombs, wherever they may be, and they go to meet him in the air. We are raptured, and we meet him in the air. And then we come back with him. We join him in the air as he is coming back, because he is going to establish a 1,000-year reign here on the earth.
Amen.
And we will be ruling and reigning with him over mankind at that time. Now, you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll take any questions when I get through this, because I've been here too long now. So, we have the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ with those who have been resurrected and raptured, ruling and reigning with him. And all of this, Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. For example, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. You can turn that if you want to. Isaiah 65:20. No more. Now, this is during the reign of Christ. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. But during the rule and reign of Christ, during that 1,000-year reign, man is going to have longevity. He's going to last longer. He's going to live longer. And here the word of God is telling us, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. Now, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan is let out. You see, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan is bound. He's bound in hell. But at the end of the 1,000-year reign, as that comes to a closure, he is released. And he's released to go out to deceive the nations of the world. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself, because I have to ask myself, when Christ Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth, who does mankind think he is? Now stop and think about what I'm saying. He comes down out of the heavens. We've been raptured, resurrected. We come with him in our glorified bodies. You got angels. He's ruling, he's reigning. Who does mankind on earth at that time think he is? Will they resist? Will they submit? Will they surrender? So all this plays into it, but we are ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years, at which time, after which, Satan is released. And Satan goes out to deceive the nations. After he's been released for a period of time, we have the Battle of Armageddon. How long Satan is going to be loose to try to gather his army across the nations of the world, I don't know. I can't find that in the Bible. But we know this. We know there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And we know that is going to be the final conclusive battle. And Satan loses the battle. And those who have identified with Satan lose the battle. Satan and his host loses the battle. And they're all cast into hell. And they're there then for eternity. Along with all those who joined him in his rebellion, they're cast into hell. Then you have the new heavens and the new earth. With the new heavens and the new earth, you have all of those who remain faithful to Christ Jesus during that 1,000-year reign. You following me?
Yes, sir.
Those who remain, who submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. You see, there's going to be multitudes on the earth saying, who is this? Who has this come out of space? And who are all these that come with them? And who are these people? They're different from us. Well, yeah, we're in glorified bodies. We don't have any sickness. We don't have disease. We don't have any death. But then when Satan is loosed, He goes out to mix and mingle with the populations of the world, and he gathers together all that he can who will identify with him, because he is trying to convince others that we can overthrow the one ruling and reigning out of Jerusalem and those ruling and reigning with him. Are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he goes out to deceive the nations of the world. Now, we have the Battle of Armageddon. He loses. The thing that I had to deal with for years was this, okay? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Christ is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, according to the scriptures I just read you, you're going to have people giving birth to children. We're going to live, they will be living long, long, long times. And ruling and reigning will be Christ Jesus until Satan is released. When Satan is released, he goes out to, quote, deceive the nations of the world. So now you've got a population of people. Who is this ruling and reigning over us here? And who is this that is going opposed to him? And so you'll have multitudes joining him in his opposition to the rule of Jesus Christ. So now you've got all these people joining him. Now, at the Battle of Armageddon, he, they, and all the fallen angels are cast into hell. That leaves us. Now, here's a point I can't find anybody can answer this for me. Here's a thing that I don't understand. Maybe you can figure it out. We know that he's going to destroy everything by fire. We know from the Word of God, he said, I'll never destroy with the flood again. Next time it'll be by fire. We know that everything's going to be destroyed by fire. My question is, how do those who are alive on planet Earth at the time of this curse, how do they escape the fire? Well, we know this. And I'm just telling you best I can figure this thing now. We know there's a new heavens and a new earth. We know that from the scriptures. So as best I can determine, those who have been sealed in Christ and who are ruling and reigning with Christ, we're ruling and reigning over humanity that has either sided with Satan or sided with Christ. And those who sided with Satan, when he is cast back to hell, they go to hell with him. Those of us who sided with Christ, submitted and committed to Christ, we are preserved. And in a heartbeat, God can put us on a new planet.
Amen.
Now, if you've got a better idea, you tell me what it is. Because I've dealt with it for years. And even this past week, I was having to go back and refresh. I got notes. I got all this stuff that I was looking at. And just in a heartbeat, God can transport his people to a new planet. He can have a new creation.
Amen.
And we know there's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new humanity sealed in Christ. And as best I can understand the scriptures, that new humanity will go on throughout the rest of eternity, producing and reproducing. And we will be ruling and reigning. Now, is all that going to take place on, we would have called it planet Earth, or is it going to have other planets? I don't know. All I know is redeemed humanity is going to be living. We're going to have a redeemed humanity. And those of us who were in the elect, were purchased by the blood of Christ, died, resurrected, raptured, we will be ruling and reigning with him, however that takes place.
Amen.
But we're assured of that. Now, ruling and reigning with him over redeemed humanity, those that believed, received, remained intact when everything else was destroyed. For on this day, the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the material elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything is going to be destroyed. Everything is going to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. There it is. Now look at this. A new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. No sin. None whatever. Not one inkling of sin of any kind in the new heavens and the new earth. And it will be populated by those who had believed, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning out of Jerusalem while we are ruling and reigning with Him. They're sealed in Him, and we can refer to them as those born again, because like ourselves, they came to believe. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blemish. Without spot and blemish. All who have been born again can be looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Understand this. Hear me carefully this morning. When your last heart beats, that's when you really start living.
Amen. Amen.
For those of us who've been born again, with the last heartbeat, that's when we really start living.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
None of the stuff we put up with now, it's over, it's finished. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, ultimately getting our final new creative status. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is heavy and it's big. I understand that. I don't know how else to try to make it plain, but I'm just trying to give you some hope and give you some peace here to understand. You see, we have to remain diligent. We have the peace of God. I can have the peace of God. Wait a minute. Let me slow down. I have the peace of God. Why? Because I have peace with God. Now listen to me. I can face whatever hell has to offer. I can face whatever's coming down the pike with the peace of God because I have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God in any situation.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Amen. I've used the illustration many times that if you and I are sitting here in the having a cup of coffee or something and an earthquake hits and the whole building collapses, well, you just get up and shake the stuff, dust off, and go get a cup of coffee somewhere else because you've got Christ. Folks, hear me. All hell, come on, listen to me. Everything in hell hates you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Satan hates you. Every unclean spirit of every rank, and we have some high-ranking unclean spirits, we call them demons. Why do we call them demons? Because the Bible calls them demons. They were at one time angels, some very high-powered angels, some high-ranking angels. But when they rebelled against God, they were cast down. Their whole nature was changed. Now they are servants of Satan, and they are fallen spirits, but they are operative in the world today, and you're up against them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But when all this is a wrap, and we are born again, and we as new creations in Christ Jesus, when we're ruling and reigning with Him, when that ultimate battle comes, He casts him into hell, no future generations of living human beings will have to encounter those demons. It's all over. It's finished. This is good news as far as I'm concerned. And I have, see, I can get up every day of the world. I have the peace of God. You wouldn't want to be around me when I first get up in the morning. Sometimes I get up singing,
hello,
praising, praying, thanking the Lord that I am who I am and that He's done what He's done for me. I mean, some people get up and be like, oh, boy, this hurts and that hurts and rotten day, you know, and well, I gotta go out and face those sin cursed world again today. I get out of bed and say, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. I've been covered by the blood of Christ. I'm a new creation. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everything out of hell, you gotta pay attention to me.
Amen.
That's who you are, friend.
Amen.
Turn to somebody right now and say, I am a child of God. Born again. Indwelt. By the Spirit of God, all hell cannot conquer me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, amen. I could quit there and go home, but I'm not going to go to. We should be diligent, the Word of God says. Because we have peace, we have the peace of God. And because we have the peace with God, we have the peace of God. Therefore, we should be diligent to be found by Him. I'm Scripture now. I'm reading Scripture to you. We should be diligent to be found in Him in peace without spot and blemish. How do you live without spot or blemish? The moment the spot occurs, you confess it to sin. The moment you realize you've sinned, you don't have to wait and say, wait a minute, I got to run over here and get alone and get down and weep and wail and cry and scream and shout and yell and confess my sin. No. You say, Lord, the thought was wrong. Lord, the attitude was wrong. Lord, the reaction was wrong. I confess it as sin. Then go on. And you can do that if, I don't know about you, but I get to do it several times a day. I can cop an attitude in a heartbeat.
Come on.
Now, I know that you can't. You're much too spiritual. But I can cop an attitude in a heartbeat. And the minute I cop the attitude, I got to say, Lord, the attitude's wrong. I'm wrong. I confess it as sin. So just do it right where you are. Keep right on going. Now, 2 Peter 3:15. And we consider that the long-suffering of our Lord, the long-suffering, what does that mean? Patience. The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul. Now this is Peter writing. Now you recall at one time, Paul had to rebuke Peter. Because Peter waffled a bit in those he was mixing and mingling with. So once you understand that, he's talking now. We consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. The patience of God resulted in my salvation.
Amen.
Think about what I just got through saying. The patience of God results in salvation. And our beloved Paul, he's saying, preaches the same message. Peter and Paul preaching the same message. Now, many of us in here this morning are living proof that God is patient. We are living proof. Look, turn to somebody and say, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. How many of us as children of God sinned and rebelled against God and knew when we did it that we were doing it?
Amen.
This is wrong, but I'm going to do it.
Hello.
My reaction is wrong, but I'm going to react. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it. But you have to understand, you're in a process of sanctification.
Amen.
And you won't do next year things you did yesterday. And some of us won't do tomorrow what we did today.
Amen.
Because the minute the Holy Spirit tweaks us and lets us know, I don't like that. That was wrong. I'm not real comfortable with your attitude. I'm not real comfortable with your reactions and responses. At that moment, I'm sorry, Father. I forgive it. I'm confessing it as sin. Forgive me. And He does. The heartbeat that you confess the sin, He forgives it. I wish I could forget all the stuff I've confessed.
Hello.
Let me try it another way. I have memories in my memory bank that I wish weren't there.
Amen.
Things that I did. Things that I said, what I was, I would to God that that wasn't there, but it is there. And I think sometimes the Lord allows those memories to remain so that we can be more thankful for where He brought us from, what He brought us through, where He's brought us to.
Amen.
But you have to keep this in mind. We're all at different levels of sanctification. And so much of the church in the world today, is still at the kindergarten level.
Hello.
But the idea is we keep coming through level after level after level after level of spiritual growth. Well, guess what? As we come through level after level after level, more and more of us has to die.
Amen.
And we come to grips with more and more what we were that we should not have been.
Yep.
And we got to confess that as sin. So many of us. We're living proof of God's goodness and God's grace. I am.
Amen.
I am living proof of God's grace and God's mercy. Now, Paul himself was living proof of that truth too. Paul, He had persecuted the church. He was around her till God got a hold of him. But Paul knew what he was talking about here. Saul, the persecutor, became Paul the apostle. And he didn't have a lot of tolerance for those who were apostles, who he didn't think were being the apostle they should have been. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all the epistles, Peter keeps writing, speaking in them of these things in which we are sometimes, some things hard to understand. Let me read that to you again. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. What he's saying there is, scripture is not always easily understood. Scripture is not always easily understood, and people twist it, and people turn it. That's exactly what he's saying here. Peter, you understand, was unlearned and uneducated. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Peter was both unlearned and uneducated. Paul, on the other hand, Saul of Tarsus, he was at that time, was highly educated. He had a great background education, but once he came to Christ, he had to go off for 3 years and forget everything he had been taught and come to a fresh knowledge of Christ Jesus. Had to come to a fresh knowledge of Christ Jesus. How that's needed today. So, Paul's writings, Peter's saying, some things were misunderstood and some things were misinterpreted. So, we come to 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Amen. He says, your own notice. We are on notice. We have to guard our heart. Don't be deceived, Paul is saying, and Peter is saying to these, and they both were preaching the same message. Don't be deceived by these religious deceivers. You had people who were religious, but not born again. And they were deceiving, using scriptures, twisting scriptures, turning scriptures. You got the same thing today. Amen. Do you realize, help me, Lord, do you realize the multitudes, I mean multitudes, that have bought into a false system of religion that are one heartbeat from hell? Doing their best to meet the standards of the system of religion they have embraced. Doing everything they can to live up to the standards of the system of religion they have embraced, and yet they are one heartbeat from hell. I try to reach them on the radio. I pray for them. I do. I pray for them. I'm asking God to penetrate the darkness and the deception of every system of religion that is deceiving people, because in every system of religion, God has got some elect. I'm convinced of that. And I'm asking Him to illumine them, enlighten them, and bring those who are of the elect out of those systems of false religion.
Amen.
And bring them into a saving knowledge of Himself. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, including Mary.
Amen.
There is no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. What's that? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is that done? How do you grow in the knowledge of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm wrapping it up now. I'm going to close with this. Listen to me carefully. It's more than a morning devotion. It's more than a morning devotion. It's more than just a little afternoon devotion. It is a desire. It is a commitment to spend time alone with Him. To spend time in the Word, yes. Spend time in prayer, yes. Reviewing your life. Once you understand that it's more than just a morning devotion, it's more than just a short evening devotion, it requires intimacy. How intimate are you with Jesus? How intimate are you with God? It takes time in the Word. It takes time in prayer. It takes time examining your life. What is there about my life that is not pleasing to God? Starting with my thought life. Starting with my reactions to life. My responses to others. My mindset. What is there about me that is contrary to the Word of God, that is contrary to the character of Christ, that I need to get right with Him? And I can only do that as I spend time in prayer. I can only do that as I look realistically at who I am, what I am, and all that I am. What I've embraced, what I haven't embraced. These are things that we have to do. It requires intimacy in the Word. It requires intimacy. I mean intimacy. I'm talking about intimacy with God. One-on-one. One-on-one. Me and you, Lord. None other. Me and you. This heart attitude. This reaction. This response. This mental attitude. Unbelief. Whatever it may be. It requires one. Listen, He already knows.
Amen.
He already knows, so you may as well confess up.
Yep.
Say, Lord, this is in my attitude. This is in my reactions and responses. This is there, present in my life. It's there. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to discuss it with you. I'm going to confess it to sin. Ask you to forgive me. One of the hard things to overcome is prejudice. In how many areas are we prejudiced? Am I willing to acknowledge my prejudice? Am I willing to say to God, this is wrong? This attitude is wrong. This reaction is wrong. This response is wrong. This mindset is wrong. Am I willing to say to God, I want the mind of Christ? And I don't know what you've got to do to give me the mind of Christ. Develop the mind of Christ in me, but I want the mind of Christ because the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So it's simple obedience. I want the mind of Christ. Am I willing to receive the mind of Christ? Am I willing to acknowledge I don't have the mind of Christ? And then we get surprised. We get up some day and say, well, I'm not doing so bad. I think I'm doing pretty good. And about 5 minutes later, you find out you're not doing so good. Because of whatever passes through your mind, judgmentalism, whatever it may be. Quinn, coming up, close us with prayer. I've gone as far as I need to go. And you're a sinner saved by grace. Sometimes it's good to have sinners saved by grace to pray. They appreciate what God has done.
Felt like you were preaching at me today. So
I was.
I appreciate you. I do.
So, I'm preaching to me too, though.
I hear you. So, Father God, well, I just want to thank you, Father. We have so much to be thankful for, Father God.
Amen.
Father, listen to that message. And Father God, I pray all the time, I want to be like Christ. I want to have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
And Father, Satan hears those prayers and he gets mad. And Father God, I let him take over sometimes, Father, my mouth or my thoughts, my actions or my deeds, Father God. I ask for forgiveness, Lord Jesus Christ, for everything I've ever done, Father God, that's grieved the Holy Spirit, Father God. And Father, I just pray, Father God, that, you know, Bob talks about the memory in your mind and things that you've done that you want to forget. Boy, if that's not truth there. But Father, I just pray you erased, Father, the memories of people that saw me do it, that I'm impacted, Father God. For those that I caused to stumble, Father God. For those that were waiting for a word of Jesus Christ for me or my, the way I was acting, the way I was talking, Father God. And I didn't do it. Father, I pray to God that you erase that from their memories, Father. And that, Father, all these times that I've stumbled or made them stumble, Father God, that you have taken action and put people in place, Father God, to witness to them, to give them that word that they need for their salvation. Father, I don't want to be the one standing down and them looking up saying, why didn't you tell me, Quinn?
Amen.
I don't want to be that person, Father God.
Amen.
So, Father, this country, Father God, we know is in trouble.
Yep.
But, Father, we know in the end there is no God except you. And there's nothing, Father God, that we can do except hit our knees, ask for repentance and prayer, Father God, and get up off our knees, Father, and do something about it. Be that man of action for Jesus Christ, Father. And, Father, you put in my mind that if somebody were to attack Kathy or come at Kathy, they'd have to kill me, Father.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And that's the way I should be walking my life for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I should be able to stand up for Christ, and no matter where I'm at, now what am I doing? With a loving, forgiving heart, not with anger, not with passion, but, Father, for the forgiveness that you gave me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father God, that you will touch this nation in revival.
Amen.
Father, we need revival. Father, we need revival. Father, I'm so sick of it. We need revival, Father God, for the stuff that we allow into our homes, we allow into our schools, Father God, that's penetrated every inch of government,
yep.
Father God.
Yep.
It's at the door of the church, Father God. We've allowed it.
Amen.
Father God, we didn't pray against it. We didn't stand up against it, Father God. It's us. And Father, when we look at the other religion, the system of religion, Father, the first thing I came up with, I'm thinking Israel and Jewish. Then I'm thinking, oh, no, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Father God. We all have a system of religion, Father. Every nomination, Father God, you can name has a system. But, Father God, our system is that you are Lord of lords and King of kings, Father God, and that Jesus Christ is the only name that can save our souls, Father God. Through Jesus Christ and the cross can deliver us from our sins and, Father, save our souls. And you've done it for me, and I thank you. So, Father, I bless these, your people. I pray for the prayers in that box, Father God. I pray, Father God, that every person that put a prayer in that box, Father God, will know that you have answered that prayer, Father God, and your timing and your will, and will give you glory and honor and praise, Father God. You've answered so many prayers for me, Father. I don't even know, Father God. And I was telling Kathy the other day, I was listening to something on the radio, and Father God, I was mumbling and complaining and whining and griping, And this farmer said, you know, Lord, you gave me a calf, you gave me rain, you gave me the fields. What am I complaining about?
Amen.
And, Father, that's what you've done in my life. You have given me a wife, a prayer warrior, a woman of God, somebody that stood beside me, Father God, no matter what I've done, no matter where I've been,
Amen.
No how stupid I acted, Kathy has prayed, Father God, for me.
Yep.
Father, I have four daughters. I have four great son-in-laws that married those daughters. That you, Father God, I believe this with all my heart, you chose those men for them.
Amen.
Father God, and you've given me 10 grandbabies and 9 great-grandbabies, Father God. And I believe each one of them, Father God, and I pray for their souls. That
Amen.
Each one of them, Father God, I claim for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and for those in this building here, Father God. Even those, Father God, that for the kids and for their parents and for their brothers and sisters, Father God, in agreement today, we claim their souls for the kingdom of Jesus
yes.
Christ, Father God. For these people here, Father God, that are in touch with their family members that we know are not saved, Father God,
right.
I pray for their salvation right now,
mm-hmm.
Father, as a group, Father God. We're agreeing that every family member, every friend, every person we have contact with, Father God, I claim their souls for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and I pray for them, Father God. I pray that you put people in their life, Father God, that will speak Jesus Christ, Father God, and their souls will be saved.
Amen.
Father, I pray for every congressman, every senator, every Supreme Court judge, for every member of Trump's administration, for Trump himself, Father God.
Yep.
I pray you will put them on their knees, Lord Jesus Christ, and they will claim you as King, Father God, and Lord of Lords, or you will remove them, Father God, from that position.
Amen.
Whatever position they're in, Father God, it goes for the church, it goes for every position we're in, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
It's not just them, Father God. It's us.
Yep.
It's us, Father God. We have to stand up and live the life of Christ through you, Father God, and show it to the world. That's what I'm praying.
Yes.
And Father God, I pray you'll protect the military, Father God, wherever they're at.
Yep.
Protect them, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that hedge protection around them, Father God. That not a life will be lost, Father God, but souls will be saved wherever they're at. They could be the greatest witness for this world that's ever been put on earth, Father God. Is that those soldiers out there that's touching other people in other countries, Father God. And I pray they'll do that. And so, Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for such a beautiful day today, Father God. The sun was shining, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it was cold. But, Father, I thank you for that sky. I thank you for that sun. I thank you I have a house to go to, Father God, when I get home and I'm warm. I thank you, Father. There's so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
And I thank you for this message today. I thank you for these people, Father God, that you have blessed me to know and be around, Father God. So, Father God, I just give honor and glory and praise to you, Father God. And bless us as we go home. In your holy, precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, hearts, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And as I told you going into it, this message you just listened to is a message I preached this past Sunday to our local fellowship here in Jacksonville. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. Until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.